Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone today, the Reverend Stephen Corretto at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Boca Raton, Florida. Good morning, Pastor Corretto.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
Thank you for being our guest today and helping us study God's Word. Tell us about St. Paul Lutheran Church in Boca Raton, Florida.
St. Paul Lutheran Church and School down in Boca Raton, Florida. We are kind of in the south part of Boca Raton, and it is a pretty affluent area. So we have all shapes and sizes of people. It is non-traditional in so many ways of a Lutheran kind of community where we find ourselves in a 70% Jewish population here in Boca Raton. And so we have a lot of opportunity to be in mission with God's Word and God's, frankly, proclamation of the Messiah. And what a privilege it is to be here. Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for taking some time to study with us this morning. Tell us any background or context you want us to understand about Matthew chapter 15 before we get into our study.
You know, as you look before and after, as we're into 15, 1 through 20, it's pretty clear that this is a really nice little nugget in between, frankly, verses 21 and before in chapter 14. Right before in chapter 14, he's with the disciples walking on the water and being able to say, take courage, don't be afraid, have faith, right? You have little faith, why do you doubt? And he speaks to that faith in their hearts. And then right afterwards, he talks to a faith of a Canaanite woman, a Gentile, somebody that's outside of the ranks, and being able to see her, that her great faith, that the request is granted because of that great faith in her heart, and that her daughter was healed that very hour. So if we take that kind of context to see faith in the hearts, I think it helps us in chapter 15, 1 through 20, to really get at what Jesus is speaking to. And as we read that, I think it'll become a little more clear.
Very good. Faith is at the heart of the matter here. Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 through 20, beginning at verse 1, then Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat. He answered them, and why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, what would you have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So the audience here, the Pharisees and scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem and said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They do not wash their hands when they eat. They're concerned that they're not following tradition, not washing their hands.
Right. Yes, and we see here that they're looking back to the authority of their elders, being able to see this is how we've always done it, and it's quite interesting how Jesus responds to that. He doesn't respond to their ancestors. He kind of responds more to them, as he says, you, rather than your fathers or your elders. Have broken the commandments. So, it does really start to speak to a little bit, as we kind of said in the context of break the tradition, and that's a great word to be able to focus on there, traditions rather than the heart of what is Jesus all about in his ministry.
But before we even get to Jesus' response, why are the Pharisees and the scribes so concerned about the tradition of the elders and the disciples, Jesus' disciples, breaking that tradition? Why are they so greatly concerned about this?
Well, it does bring about uncleanness, and they have gone through, they've really kind of stretched the, frankly, commandments of God, or frankly, the ways of God, in amongst this time as they've come from Malachi to now into Matthew here, being able to add and give certain stipulations on how their community brings about order. And so this kind of brings about disorder in their community. So why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Why do they have to make a scene of being able to say, this is a long day that we've come through? I'm not sure if they've been traveling from Jerusalem to Galilee. They've been on a road for a while. They become unclean in that way, and the proper order is to wash their hands. before you eat, so that it is order in their community. So that they don't want disorder. They want something that is very tried and true, and just stick to that because it's worked in the past. It's going to work right now. So they're just kind of taken back by the disciples not doing what they do.
This is the tradition they've been living with for a long time. This isn't something new, and this Jesus is bringing about something that is, in a sense, new.
Yes.
And it's questioning the tradition that they find their identity in, if you will, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is definitely making an attack not just upon them, but what they know and what they've always been for. And as much as they do know in their life, you know, because they, we got to remember as well, as you kind of read through some of the commentaries and stuff about Matthew 15, you'll find that what rings true is that this is kind of oral tradition still. You know, they have these things written down in some fashion, but this is really from generation to generation, this is how you operate. And so they take heed to that, they claim that, and they own it, and they grab onto it. And for somebody to come and do anything different is just kind of a laugh in their face, if that be the case.
What's the root of their traditions? What is the root, the history behind, and the purpose of their traditions? Go ahead.
What's at the root is, frankly, the cleanness. This is kind of behind the pages here, is of how the priest entered into a certain way. They would wash themselves, make them clean, and now as these priests have kind of extended it, or as they've taken it, you know, away from not just the priest, but they've kind of extended it to the people. This is kind of the order of even not just worship, but eating and all these rituals. And now it's not just the priest doing those in the stead and by the command for all the people, but now all the people are doing it. So this is kind of rooted in kind of a priestly order. So as you're kind of bringing forward here, and as I'm speaking, it just kind of enlivens my heart a little bit too, of saying, as they're saying, you know, wow, this is the tradition of our elders. They're really, just by not washing their hands, this is speaking many big things that have been in the community for a while and have been ordered by the priests in their community. So
the root of these traditions is really given, it stems from what God has given them. It starts in, you know, the law is given by God.
Yes.
What has happened, though, is traditions have developed out of it that aren't necessarily God's traditions, but rather man's traditions,
yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. And as you get into, I know we're going to get into that text probably a little bit later, but it makes its point here now as well, being able to say, as this whole Isaiah passage has says, but also in Malachi and also in Hebrews, as it speaks to the sacrifice and frankly the commandments of God and how different those are, the newness that Jesus brings to them, and how it's going to affect the community of order, if that be the case, in what they believe have been the traditions, or as we would say, the man-made aspect of God's law.
Mm-hmm. And going on to Jesus' response to them, what, you know, when they challenge and say, "Why do your disciples break tradition, the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat."
Mm-hmm.
He responds, he answers, "And why do you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition?"
Mm-hmm.
You're pointing out that it's your human tradition. You're breaking God's commandment. What might have been originally rooted in, perhaps, or seemingly rooted in God's command is now your tradition that, well, breaks God's command. "For God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if anyone tells his father or his mother, 'What you would have gained from me is given to God,' he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you have made void the word of God."
That's quite a bit of a lash right there against that community right there. It's just when you look back at it, when you get it, I guess not look back, but really dive deep into it. As I said to you before, they want to say that it's their tradition, and they want to lean on their tradition. But Jesus brings it right personal into their hearts and saying, "Why do you break the commandment then? If this is the commandment, why not hold that up but rather you've shaped this commandment and made it your own so that it can be nice and comfy for you to be in and a part of. So, yeah. God, you break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition. And that commandment, as we see it there, you know, the fourth commandment, as we would know it, being able to honor your father and your mother, what they were doing was being able to pay certain gifts to the temple and saying that's how they're honoring their father and their mother. And so their traditions would say that not far from maybe our American, if I pay to the church, then God's okay with me. Sometimes people feel that way. And he's attacking that very outlash, being able to attack that right up in front.
You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you when he said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Is right.
Hypocrites, what a big word there, you know, liars, the ones that say that they're heeding the command of God, but really not honoring him, and it gets to the heart of the matter, and using that word in verse 8, but their heart is far from me. They do so many actions, they do so many traditions, they do so many things on the account of man so that their community has order, but it is God who brings about order. A God who brings about the right doctrines and teachings and, frankly, the heart of worship. And when they've made it about man or made it their way, then they have done it in vain. And that is just such a direct point to what the heart of the matter of this text is. But their heart is far from me. That's what he wants. He wants the heart of people. And what is written on the heart of people is the law of God. Which is written on the heart of people is Christ with us. And when we stretch that, when we go away from that, then we are teaching as doctrines of man rather than of God. Pretty powerful.
What does this say about traditions? Are all traditions bad? Are all traditions inherently bad?
Oh, absolutely not. Traditions have a great way of communicating of how we are attached to the community. But when they do come, as they have come here in our text, when they come over and above the law and the gospel or the word of God and how he has brought about what tradition he wants in the community, then it is in vain. Then it is dishonorable. Then it isn't really after God's heart. When traditions are in the place of, frankly, the doctrines of God, then we need to be careful there. But you know, we always use those words. It's a big word called adiaphora, and being able to be in amongst that tradition. There is things that you can do and can't do. The things that you can do, whether it be in worship or whether it be being able to speak to in theology, is a great avenue for conversation. But we should never implement them so that we know that word and sacrament ministry are the mainstay for God's order in his community. And we walk in that. As soon as we start stretching that, then we start stretching how God works. And that's dangerous.
So what I hear you saying is stick with the places where God has promised to meet us, where he has promised in his word. Stick with those. Those are the foundation. Those are the source. If we have other traditions, well, those can come and go. But,
but those aren't something to rely on, as he's saying here, as the doctrines of men. Those aren't something, as you said, with the foundation. And those aren't really something to really trip you up in your community. Those aren't things that you should have quarrels and discernment over too much. If you are, then maybe they've come a little too close to how God is working through his word and sacrament. But you should talk about how you're practicing word and sacrament. maybe the fact that with these traditions, those just come into the place. If they're getting to be too high of a priority in amongst the community that God has established in your place, then help us, Lord, to repent and look to you for your trueness and your word and sacraments. Yes.
If they take the place of the word, verse 6, for the sake of your tradition you have made void the word of God. If your traditions make void the word of God, then they're dangerous traditions, aren't they?
They are. They are. They're stepping into how you relate to God or how God relates to you. And there is only one way we relate to God, and only one way He relates to us, and that's through His Son Jesus Christ. And that's what, you know, Matthew's speaking about, that reign over and over again of how God is in community with His people. And that's the whole context of Matthew, obviously, but being able to see it here, that when we place anything in front, traditions or our lips and our whatever it is that we have here, it is coming to be part of the voidness that we would have in the Word of God. Very dangerous.
So where He promises to meet us in His Word, as He's promised in His sacraments, mm-hmm. those we can trust. The things that get in the way of that, those are the dangerous things. It's not, as you said, those dangerous things that we think that we make up to relate to God, transcendental, you know, meditation and things like mm-hmm. that, all mm-hmm. kinds of, or superstitions, mm-hmm. All those things that make void the Word of God.
Yes, the way that we order and walk up to communion, the way that we have the color of the carpet in our sanctuaries, those kind of things are just should be small things. You know, those are all adiaphora. You know, that's even a stretch for adiaphora. But being able to say those are such small things when it comes to the proclamation of the Word and sacraments for the true doctrine and, frankly, the salvation of God.
What key a hymn or song is sung in, or what instrument?
yes, exactly right. We can war over many things that God isn't warring over. He wants the heart, and where the heart is, and we'll get into that in this text as he comes further along here.
Very good. We are studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Stephen Corretto from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Boca Raton, Florida, that is. And we're in Matthew chapter 15 today. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll pick up around verse 10. Hope you can join us for the rest of the study right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Protect yourself and those around you by getting your flu vaccine. It is your best defense against the flu. Annual vaccination against flu is recommended for all people 6 months of age and older, unless they have a condition or medical reason not to get the vaccine. Stay in the game, get vaccinated, and help us tackle the flu.
To find a flu vaccine clinic near you, go to mo.gov and click on the flu vaccine locator. This message is brought to you by the Missouri Department of Health and Senior Services.
Hey, Pastor Craig D'Onofrio here. We're getting close to Reformation Day, but did you know that Mondays through Fridays are always Reformation Days? That's right, Reformation Rush Hour is Monday through Friday. Join me at 5 p.m. Central and enjoy our fascinating guests on Worldwide KFUO. All treats, no tricks. KFUO.org or in the St. Louis area, AM 850 KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are studying the Daily New Testament Reading with Pastor Steve Corretto from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Boca Raton, Florida. We're in Matthew chapter 15 today, verses 1 through 20. Pastor Corretto, anything else about the first nine verses, verses 1 through 9, those traditions and commandments and the prophecy from Isaiah before we go on to the next segment?
Well, you hit on it right at the end there, the prophecy from Isaiah. I love how Matthew, and frankly inspired by God, to bring forth the Old Testament, where they would be looking back to tradition, and it's just interesting how he brings that forward right at the end of this kind of little section where he says, you know, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. What does that mean according to Isaiah and their community, and how does that lead us forward into these next verses? It makes very clear that obviously the traditions he's speaking to, but what does it mean to be unclean? What actually makes you not in the heart of God, or that their heart is far from me? And so it sets it up well into these next verses.
Very good. Verse 10, And he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Then let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." But Peter said to him, "Explain the parable to us." And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone." So he called the people to him and said to them, "Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person."
Yes, it is nothing outside. It is nothing outside that brings about uncleanness of what would be put into the body. It is from the root and the nature of the body, or we would say here in the preceding verses, it is from the heart. And can I jump to a real quick text?
Sure.
And read that? For
absolutely.
Because Matt, it's right there, right before a couple of chapters before that Jesus is speaking to his disciples here, being able to say a tree is known by its fruit. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 33. And I just it makes it really maybe easy to come into our verses right here. It says, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers," or maybe as our context says, "you hypocrites, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." So here it is, the proclamation, what comes out of the heart. What kind of fruit is that? Bad fruit or good fruit? And it kind of sets us up here of being able to say, now that is he speaking in these to these people, it is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of it. From the heart is how you speak, and what is in your heart to speak. We pray that it's the proclamation of the gospel. If it's not, then it is bad fruit, and it is of men, and that is dangerous.
It's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. Then the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" Isn't it kind of funny to ask Jesus a question that begins with, "Did you not know?" Or, "Did you know?
Did you know?
Do you know?"
The omniscient one, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? Yeah. I think he's addressed that, you know, more and more. Why are you conspiring? He used earlier in the gospel in your hearts, being able to even know before anybody says anything. But to understand that disciples are seeing the same reaction that Jesus is seeing, because he this really puts forth of being able to say, you have broken the commandments. And for them to be taken back by that in the previous verses, the disciples see that. So they came to Jesus asking that question, which is all telling, you know, that there was a reaction that was pretty high intensity by the Pharisees, that they were offended. Maybe they were clamoring with one another, or maybe they were just having those frowny faces, but the disciples saw it, and they wanted to see, make sure that Jesus saw that, which is quite humorous. To understand, did you know? Yes.
Asking an all-knowing God, do you know that the Pharisees were offended? Yep, I sure did.
Yes.
He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Mm-hmm. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit."
Mm. Yes. We're actually working as a congregation right now through some of the Gospel of Mark and study, and we just went through the good soil, the seed that's planted, and the good soil, and it will sprout and bear much fruit, and This kind of reigns true when you see the sentence, every plant that my Heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. It's not in the place that it needs to be planted. The Father plants where He wants it, and He communicates what He wants to communicate. And everything that is made by man is going to wither and fade, as it says in Isaiah. But the Word of God stands forever. That's a beautiful kind of reflection here. So, but yeah, let them alone. Leave them behind. It's not important, maybe, as what verse 14 is saying there. They are blind guides. They're not going to lead you in the way of everlasting life. They're not going to lead you into something that's fruitful, but rather it's going to be blind and even to fall in that way. So leave that behind. Look to the Father, you know. So a very guiding words here.
But Peter said to him, explain the parable to us. And he said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. Mm. Peter says, well, explain the parable to us.
Yeah, make sense of this, because I think they're frowning this the way that the Pharisees are saying, this is a new teaching. This is something that, wait a second, we should have probably washed our hands. We maybe should have been a little more clean in our tradition in that way. So it's a new teaching, a little bit of not understanding. And you tell us, was this a parable? And it really wasn't. It was an understanding that they have said, this is tradition. So what is he speaking to here? And he said, are you still without understanding? After this time that you've walked with me and understand that it's not about the traditions of man or the ways that they communicate. It's about how God does. And, yeah, you do not see, this is quite a humorous verse here in number 17, and our translations never make it humorous because it says, do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? And in the Greek words there, it is absolutely used, the word, if we want to say it in our the word toilet is kind of used in
that
way.
Yeah, that's what the God's Word translation uses.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, we're so nice and clean, you know, in our translations. Passes into the stomach and is expelled, you know, being able to say, it just really kind of encourages us and supplies for us. But you know what happens with food that goes in the mouth. It comes out and is expelled in a way that you have to see it. And it's kind of humorous there of being able to use that. It has no bearings on, frankly, whether you're clean or unclean. It just passes through your body.
And everybody does.
Yes. Everybody. Everybody sits in the same place. Exactly right. We won't go too far into
Right. Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is expelled? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a person. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. These are what defile a person. Mm. But to eat with unwashed hands, that does not defile anyone. So yeah. It's what comes out of the mouth. It's not what goes into the mouth, it's what comes out of the mouth that makes one unclean.
Yes, the fruit that you bear, as I read before Matthew 12, but where that word comes from is really from the heart. And that's where everything really kind of comes from, heart and mind. And it's just quite interesting, as I'll probably allude to here soon, being able to say, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's not necessarily from what you digest. but it is coming from the heart.
Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. Most of us would say, especially in today's culture, we wouldn't say that those come out of the heart. You know, in pop culture, religiosity in America, we'd say that those come from something evil, but not necessarily out of one's heart. Because if you look inside yourself, you'll find the good stuff is usually what we say. Look inside yourself to find the good.
Or better title in a book, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? You know, being able, we're good at heart. And that's the humbleness of this text and, frankly, the Word of God. That if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But as we look into our heart and to our nature, this is what it is. If we are really honest and truthful with our hearts and looking at them, evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. Hard to read those words, that those can come out of the heart. But that is exactly our nature, and that's what we're tempted and tried and frankly produce. And these are what defile a person, and that's the truth. And we need to be able to kind of grin and bear that, but more importantly, not just grin and bear it, but as I jump to the gospel, as we look to our hearts, those have overcome by the blood of the Lamb, that is something that has claimed our heart, you know, and so that's where we reside now.
What does Jesus say about their tradition? But these are what defile a person, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anyone.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say about the man-made tradition?
Yeah, it's dismissed in some ways, dismissed as not just unimportant, but doesn't have anything to do with the heart of the matter, if I can use that pun correctly. it really is adiaphora, as we said before. It's a great thing that maybe as a community you do that so you can understand that we're doing this together. But that doesn't necessarily put into order what is going to declare you clean or unclean. What declares you clean is your baptisms. What declares you unclean is your nature, and being able to see what power is more effective, you know, and that's the Word of God. And that's what is enrooted into our hearts.
Looking over the text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else that you would like us to know as we wrap up our study of this Matthew 15 text today?
You know, it's an honest look. It's an honest look at us as the community of God. It's an honest look at the self of your heart, and to be able to look at what is your fruit that you bear. What is what makes you clean? And it really does put a huge emphasis on the heart that Jesus has claimed, and how he speaks to you, and what comes out of a man is hopefully a praying that is from God and not the slanderous and not all the evil thoughts and that kind of way, but let the power of the Spirit take control of that. So it's just a beautiful text of being able to take a little bit of a reflection on how we live, how we worship, and how we praise God, and where it comes from.
We've been studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Steve Corretto from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Boca Raton, Florida. Pastor Corretto, thanks so much for being our guest and helping us study this text in Matthew chapter 15 today.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you and all the saints there at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Boca Raton. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Missionary Monday. Hope you can stick around for that, listeners, and more on Worldwide KFUO.